Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection.
Wow, that sounds like it's a little droopy, the music. I don't know what's going on there. Welcome to HR Latte. This is Rayanne Thorne. I'm very excited to be here today. I have had a crazy last 80 hours. Today is June 6th. You're listening to HR Latte as I kick off my brand new series, Recruiters Go Tech. We'll be talking to several different individuals that have been involved with hiring, have been in practices of HR and recruiting, and then have turned to the dark side, as I like to tease, as I was one of those individuals, who have gone over to the technology side, helping create, build, sell technology to the HR and recruiting space. So welcome to the new series, Recruiters Go Tech. I finished off a great series last month, Diversity in the Workplace. Again, I want to make a couple of big announcements for me and welcome the brand new sponsor for HR Latte, Dovetail Software, as I was just appointed the Vice President of Marketing. So thank you, Dovetail, for bringing me into the fold and for allowing HR Latte to continue on. I'm really excited about the different things that we'll be able to present and what you can learn about Dovetail, an employee case management software. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Dwayne Lay, who is a Vice President at Dovetail, also will be joining this series later in the month, so we will dig into what he can share with us, the great specifics about Dovetail. And Saturday, on May 30th, I got hitched. So it's been a crazy last 80 hours. I married the love of my life, Tom Eamon, and so it's been an exciting last few hours. So enough about me. Let me introduce my wonderful guest. I had the great opportunity to attend Social HR Camp in Omaha, Nebraska a few weeks ago and met Josh Berry of Venture Tech. Hey, Josh, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you very much, Ryan. It's a pleasure. And congratulations on the new job and getting married.
I know. It's been a little nuts. I feel very, very, very blessed. And at the same time, I feel like I might lose my mind, which I guess it's all good, right?
It'll be good. Just don't think that you have to top this next week, okay?
Yeah, I think I'm good for a while. Although there is talk about tearing the carpeting out someday soon as well. So why not? I mean, why not just make it everything a complete upheaval? So Josh, tell us about yourself, and you can have a little bit more than the 30-second typical elevator pitch. Tell us about yourself and what brings you to Venture Tech, and then give us a filler on what Venture Tech is all about.
Sure, my pleasure. First and foremost, father of four, happily married to my high school sweetheart. I live here in Lincoln, Nebraska. Out of college, did international consulting for a human resources consulting firm for 10 years. Left that as the head of sales and strategic alliances to jump into what I'm doing now, which is managing director of a firm called Venture Tech. And what Venture Tech does is helps entrepreneurs validate, build, and commercialize and really scale up startup ideas. So we especially work with non-technical entrepreneurs, so people who maybe have deep market expertise and see a problem, but they just need some help in thinking about should they build it, is there a business model there, and et cetera. And being able to combine my love of the past of helping organizations with human resources issues with helping entrepreneurs has kind of led me to where I am now, which is having a real specialty and a real passion for finding human resources tech ideas and helping those get to market.
Well, it's very, very exciting. I definitely need to connect you with Blake McCammon, who was actually on HR Latte last month. He's a young entrepreneur himself, and he recently
from
put
Proto Hacks,
a
right?
List.
Blake from Proto Hacks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know Blake.
He's Proto Hacks, Colin Blake, with what they're doing over there. Proto Hacks
awesome.
Being the code-free hackathons your audience that have probably listened to it. Is a natural symbiotic mix with what we're doing because we have a similar mission of trying to help those non-technical entrepreneurs. So we're actually in discussions with Colin Blake about potentially helping them expand that here in the Midwest.
Well, I don't need to make the introduction. It's already been done. Blake recently published a list of non-tech people have launched technology that were non-tech people. So you guys should definitely talk about that. It's a very exciting time for HR technology companies, for startups that are out there. There is money to be found, and there's also a lot of failures waiting to happen. And one of the really great things that I learned about you and what VentureTech does is all the help that's out there for these folks. The work that you're doing is so great, you did a series or a survey that talked about the greatest needs for organizations regarding HR recruiting mm-hmm. technology, and I'd love for you to share the 1-2-3 list you shared with us at Social HR Camp a couple of weeks ago, if you could. So let's talk about the three greatest needs for organizations right now.
Yeah, absolutely. To give a little bit of background to it, VentureTech partnered with Talent Tech Labs out of New York City, which is quickly rising to be one of the preeminent places to get up-and-coming research on talent acquisition technologies, as well as finding potential investors or just understanding the ecosystem that's out there, specifically around talent acquisition. And so we launched a national survey that went out to some 60,000 heads of recruiting, talent acquisition managers, et cetera, asking them what they thought of their current technology, again, specifically more around recruiting and sourcing tools, and then what areas did they see that needed the greatest level of improvement. And, yeah, I'd be happy to walk through that, and as well as there'll be a more detailed report coming out in the next quarter from Talent Tech Labs, but a sneak peek for everybody. The top three needs for improvement, when we asked talent acquisition managers, heads of recruiting, et cetera, when we said, look at the current tools you have, what still needs to improve? The number three was tools around employer branding. So how can you make it so much easier for us to get the message out there of who we are as you know, the continual battle for finding the very best people? Is there, you know, organizations need to put their best foot forward, and so maybe later we can talk. There's a bunch of great and interesting tools that I'm intrigued with out there.
But number three was to talk more about that. So
okay. Well, we'll do high level first. Better employer branding tools was number three. Number two was better applicant tracking systems or workflow, which completely shocked me because I figured coming from a world where I did a lot of work on integrations with applicant tracking systems and getting content and pulling them into what we were doing, I thought, you know, there's enough of it out there. But in terms of having a desire to make things easier and more efficient and more niche for particular verticals or industries, they requested, they said, we need better workflow management for how we're sourcing mm-hmm. and screening candidates. And the top one that they said, probably no surprise, is sourcing unique candidates. And so continually finding help for those hard-to-find positions. And it wasn't always just, you know, the typical tech and design positions. You know, we heard from all across the board as you know, unemployment continues to go down, it continues to be more of a market for people finding better and better tools to source better talent. So that was kind of the number one need that they said is, we see a lot coming up here. There's a lot of investment capital going into new talent sourcing technologies, but we want to see even more.
And are there any standout companies out there right now that are addressing any of these needs? Can we consider these greatest needs? What are some standouts you can mention?
You know what? There's a ton that are out there, and I would say we're constantly reviewing them. That's one of the things at VentureTech that we're either receiving pitches from HR professionals who have ideas and they want to start something, and so we're talking to them about that, or we're finding these new startups and continuing to see how we could come alongside them or connect them to resources, et cetera. And so in general, I would say some of the ones that are most exciting to me, and some of these have been around for a little bit, so I'm not going to shock you with some new ones, but I'll try to come up with a couple newer ones that maybe you haven't heard of yet. We're excited about, on the sourcing side of things, what Perry is doing at Archively,
right,
in terms of
right.
an interesting tool for cataloging and finding individuals. I'm very excited about what Intello is doing and the unique innovations that they're creating with some of their tools. You know, their sonar tool to go out and find new individuals, or they're more likely to move idea that continues to understand how open an individual would be to your offer based upon the social signals that they're sending.
That's
out
interesting.
There.
Really interesting stuff.
Recruitify, I think, is interesting in terms of how they're not just trying to automate the role of executive search or other recruitment, but actually trying to create more efficiencies in the marketplace of executive search. So that one's been interesting. Obviously, Broadbean and what Kelly
yep.
is doing over there is continually innovating and coming up with new ideas. On the workflow applicant tracking system side, I like what Smashfly and Talent Browser are doing right now. Jibe is still coming up with some interesting ideas, especially with the original entry point that they had of creating a mobile portal for your applicant tracking system. Even if your applicant tracking system didn't have a real mobile-friendly experience, they're now taking all that they have in terms of understanding and controlling some of that pipeline and creating better analytics products and better referral-based products that are on top of that since they have that data. So those are just a few. I could go on and on and on.
Right, right.
I'll tell you one cool resource for anybody who gets geeked out like I do about new HR technologies is there's an organization just started out there by recruiting industry vet Michael Marlott called RecruitBase. And probably the best info is if you follow Michael's RecruitBase platform that they haven't launched yet. But if you go to their Twitter handle of @RecruitBase.io, that's
okay.
Igloo
okay.
and outdoor, RecruitBase.io,
right.
It seems like daily they're posting up several other new HR tech ideas that are out there. It's quickly becoming a go-to source. And so keep watching what he's doing there, because I think later on this summer they'll be taking that to a whole new level of helping people discover the new HR technologies that are out there.
And Michael launched Mobile Recruiting Camp, right? Is that
yep.
is that correct? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. MREC or whatever the conference
right,
was
MREC
out there.
Right. MREC is what they shortened it to. Let's see. So we're talking today to Josh Berry of Venture Tech. You can find him on Twitter @Josh_Berry. You're listening to HR Latte, brought to you by Dovetail Software. Thanks, Dovetail, for sponsoring the show. And so, Josh, let's jump into some things. One thing that I think is really interesting is many of the new startups that are out there are being started up, and this is what this series is built on, by former practitioners in the HR space, in the recruiting, in the hiring space. Why is that important, or why should we pay attention to that?
I think it's vastly important. As we personally think about it from an investment standpoint of our time or our money or our development resources, one of the things that we kind of use as part of our checklist is their domain expertise. Today's day and age, I would much rather bet on somebody who has deep market expertise and connections and is maybe even a little bit more mature than I would somebody who not only has to learn how to start a business or build a product, but also has to learn about the market that they're trying to serve.
Right, right.
So the fact that you're coming in with it and you see that particular thing and you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s or honestly, yesterday we had 4 or 5 conversations with entrepreneurs, and some of them are second or third times, but the average age was probably in their mid-40s. It's not, in terms of, back to your question about the importance of having that
right.
domain expertise, it is critical, and especially with something as important as HR and helping people find and perform better at work, you're just going to be able to go that much further.
And I mentioned this earlier, but not only founders or guys that are out there trying to, you know, like the proto hack guys, well, how can we help,
mm-hmm.
you know, people get their ideas out there? But also people are like me, like Dwayne Lay, you know, like Mira Greenland, have left the world as a practitioner, left the space as a practitioner, but gone in to help these software companies that serve the industries. Is it valuable for an HR tech company or a recruiting tech company to really consider, should we hire somebody with that domain expertise? Not just the person that launches the company, but having people in the field of the company that understand the field of industry.
Yeah, I think if you can't hire the person, definitely having sound advisors that have that domain expertise, whether informal or formal, is critical. Because something that might take you several bumps and bruises, that person's probably been through that, and just being able to share that information is so much further. There's also a lot of credibility that's added to it. I think in general, and I am going to stereotype here, sometimes HR practitioners that are still in their corporate roles are not always the biggest risk takers on the newest technologies. And so anything that you can do to alleviate some of that that tension or that anxiety, and part of that can be, I'm a 15-year vet of recruiting, and this is what I saw as an issue, and so that's why I am building this. I think can help, take down some of those barriers.
That's right. The whole I've been there, I've done that thing is really important. So let's jump to the other side of the fence. I would love for you to share some advice as a recruiter or HR pro. What are some important things to remember when selecting a new technology?
I think. When selecting a new technology, one of the things that I always encourage people to say is first identify what you want improved, and then find a technology for it. Partially you can go out and you can find a technology and then figure out how do I apply this to my business.
Right.
But
right.
I think the things that change, the things that really stick, the things that really change behavior are the things where you're maybe already trying different workarounds for this particular piece. I'll plug, again, Archively and what Perry is doing. The recruiters out there who are saying, how do we share across all of our LinkedIn profiles the candidates that we are talent pooling? They were creating Excel spreadsheets and other things. So you're already creating workarounds, and then there's a solution that comes along that actually makes that so much better. I think those are the things versus what sometimes we get into, and it's kind of the app excitement where you see a cool new app and you download it and it's fun for a little bit, but you realize it actually serves very little purpose in your life. So when choosing new tech, first understand the problem that you're trying to solve with it, and then you'll probably increase the likelihood of actual adoption. And then the other, and this is it's been around forever, but it's the idea of, as an organization, you have to understand your tolerance of, do I want seamlessly integrated solutions, or am I okay going down the path of best-of-breed applications and solutions? There's pros and cons with both of those, but having a more or less feeling of this is how our organization wants to live, I think helps you make some of those tech purchase decisions.
Yeah, it's really an interesting time for technology and all the ideas that are out there. I read a report or a survey the other day that said more and more HR practitioners or heads of HR are looking to a full suite of solutions. I find that hard to believe when there's just so many different small bits of technology that are available that are driving so much interest, that are starting to get traffic because of the new and interesting technology that's out there. Another interesting side to this was they were quoting a report from 2011. How can we, so much has changed in technology in the last 4 to 5 years. I mean, it seems ridiculous to even consider something that was written in 2011 when you think how far mobile has come since then, when how far SaaS has come since then, right? It seems crazy to me that you would even consider to put anything in there from 2011. In tech years, I mean, it's probably much like dog years, right? Each year is worth 7 to 10 years, right? So because of the acceleration of updating and the changes in technology. So let's jump back to the other side, right? What's the most important thing with your experience, all the folks that you have talked to, all the research that you have done, what's the most important thing a recruiter or HR pro should remember when considering launching, in particular those that maybe don't have a strong technical background? What should they know or remember when launching an industry-specific tech company?
Yeah. One of the biggest pieces of advice and sometimes one of the first walls that people need to hit is that I prefer to see passion for a problem and a market served versus the solution that you have in mind. If all you're in love with is, I know it's going to do this thing and it's going to have this functionality and it's this app, and less about the problem that you're trying to serve and the market that you're trying to serve, it's easy to kind of get into this quandary of telling yourself that the market likes what you're creating, or you know, you shop that around to people and say, look at this, isn't this really great, versus truly getting in and understanding what are the issues here and what are the biggest pain points, and could you build something that addresses that, that may be a shift on what you originally thought the solution would be. So if I had to tie that up in a bow, it's fall in love with your problem or your market more than your solution.
That's really great advice.
Another piece that I think is extremely important for them is, and this is why we focus a lot at Venture Tech on helping more B2B startups, is that in today's day and age, you can do so much validation. And what I mean by that is proving that there's an actual need and that problem mm-hmm. exists and that people are willing to pay to alleviate that problem before going and hiring people to build expensive software or going yourself into a cave and building something out. There's so much that you can do, and this is where I know Blake and Cole were going with ProtoHacks. There's so much you can do with screenshots and prototyping and what I really specialize in, which is customer development interviews and helping people bring along your prospects in the development process so that you're developing something that they see their fingerprint on and then they're happy to prepay or help you with the funding of that themselves because it's such a great solution. So don't think that you have to go build it in a cave or go hire somebody to build it for you and then bring it to market and it's just a sales or marketing issue. There are way smarter ways to do that in today's day and age.
Well, folks that have listened to the show before know that this is one of my things. If you are not solving a problem, you're creating a problem. And so if your technology doesn't solve a problem, you know, if you're just out there, I've got a great idea, but you're not really addressing the problem, you're just going to create more problems, right? You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. So where do you want to lie when it comes to that? So why do you believe tech companies or startups fail?
Some of it is and there's a whole bunch of issues, but some of it can be what we just talked about there. Some of it can be what we just talked about there, which is that maybe they assume too much of what the market actually needs.
Okay.
I've seen some fail because they have put way too much money into building out the product and didn't save enough on the sales or marketing side of things. You still have to do a lot of acquisition of clients. I have seen some fail due to team dynamics. Maybe you don't have the right players that are on the team. My previous world was all about selecting the right people and fitting them into the right roles. And sometimes, I'll put it as this, and I wasn't the first person to come up with this, but at very early stage, we're always looking at the jockey, the horse, and the race, right? Mm-hmm. The jockey being the entrepreneur, the horse being the idea, and the race being the market and the opportunity and everything around it. At an early stage, the jockey or jockeys is almost more important than those other two. And so sometimes when they fail, it's just not the right jockey they have. And so there have been some times where personally we've worked at Venture Tech with people who come in and they're great subject matter experts, but maybe they shouldn't be CEOs of a startup. And so helping people see what their role could be or how we can still help them, you know, fit exactly what their need is or bring that to reality is something that we can help with. So a lot of it comes back to making sure you don't have too many assumptions about what you're building, finding people out there, saving money back for sales and marketing, having the right team. Those are probably some of the top failure points that I see.
So if we flip the coin, would those be the same reasons why they succeed? Having the right
there
team.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you got a good team, or you know at least how to build it around you. You're able to do the sales and marketing. You're understanding that role that you got to continually hustle and get out there. And yeah, that you thoroughly test and validate and continue to iterate. We're huge fans of Eric Ries's Lean Startup or Paul Alstrom's Nail It Then Scale It. All of those ideas that are very much about iterating on what you're building before, you know, sinking too much into it. So
you've had a lot of time and done a lot of research. Do you have any great stories? Maybe a negative story too that you could share?
which do you want first?
let's start with the negative story. We'll end on a good note. How about that?
Okay, that works.
I don't have to name any names, but you know.
I won't. But in general,
okay.
Two just over the past few months have been individuals who one of them spent probably only just south of 100,000, and the other one was now probably going on over $1 million, and building stuff that maybe the market didn't exactly need. It was maybe a nice to have. And both of them, they would get feedback from one individual or two individuals about new features that are needed, and that would force them back into the cave to build that stuff out. So those are kind of negative ones too, because it's, at a certain point you have to cut bait, or try to salvage, you know, if there's something out of it. And so those are always difficult situations. Another one, it was two co-founders, and I tried to help them because one of the co-founders, it didn't make sense for them to be in the startup anymore based on the direction that they were going. And so those team dynamics, if you don't establish kind of like a good married couple, so take note on this rant, those good communication practices at the very beginning and working through issues and all of that, that one ended in a negative story. I think they're both in a positive,
yeah,
better spot now, but during those couple of months when they were having their breakup, it definitely wasn't positive.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. I've learned in the past when working with other technology companies that when communication stops, there's a reason and there's something sure to follow. Some great thing that is not so great will follow that. So, and how about a positive story?
Yeah, two quick positive ones. There's one working right now with a former chief human resources officer of a 2,000-person company who's got a great idea, great context. But before just jumping ship, he did a lot of validation around this idea and understanding that there was market opportunity out there, and is very much going into it of saying, this is what I want to address. It's actually a very, very unique solution around employee engagement. And I hear a lot of employee engagement pitches. This guy has a very unique take on it, and he's doing a lot of that validation before just jumping fully into this. And so that's
being
a
very
huge
wise
win. But yeah, being very wise. And another one is actually one of our portfolio companies that did an amazing job of securing those pre-orders. He had 37 clients who all paid him $5,000, basically in escrow, to build this product eventually, if he could deliver it by X amount of time. And so that's one of the things that we kind of specialize in is, can you get a funded MVP? Can you prove something enough to people that they'd be willing to say, yeah, I'll pre-order that at a discount? And so that, just think about how much further ahead you are there off of getting pre-orders. It's almost like a B2B Kickstarter, if you will. And being able to get that, being able to take that to then build a product off of that and put a lot more money towards sales and marketing, et cetera. So, you know, that sort of thing is being done out there. And because of the natural wave that our ecosystem is in terms of just this high tide of entrepreneurship and people's desire to want to be a part of it, some of the capital, there's definitely things that are out there. And I don't think that pre-orderness is any sign of frothiness or a bubble or anything, because those are real companies who are putting up money saying, you're solving a real problem for me. And I've helped put my fingerprint on what the solution will be. Yeah, I'll take a bet on that. And if you can't deliver it, I get my money back anyway. So what's the risk, right?
That's awesome. So this always happens. We are at the tail end of the show. So I want to shine a spotlight on you, Josh, for a minute. When you as a service provider, as a consultant, as an advisor, what are key things that you do in order to do your job more effectively, more efficiently, to make your clients, those that you advise, give information to, share, help, grow? What's some of those key things that you do to ensure that you are doing the best job possible?
I'll hit them quick. Ask great questions. That's one of the best things that I can give. I can pontificate and share lots of wisdom, but the best stuff typically comes from asking great questions, right? Whether that's of your employees or these entrepreneurs or whatnot. It's just asking great questions. A second one, and this is my favorite Seth Godin blog post. You can look it up. It's from 2012, and it was Hard Work on Things That Matter. And basically the premise of it was that the people who are going to win aren't necessarily the smartest people, the most creative people, the hardest working people. It's the people who understand what matters most and figure out how to ignore the rest. And so I think I've done a very good job with all the things that I have going on and with others to quickly navigate to what are the things in this moment or this day or with this client or with this industry that are going to matter the most and they're going to help propel us further into the future. And so that discernment and being parsimonious with time, I think,
Focus is
one of those key things. Yeah. Yep. Which isn't always focused because if too focused, you don't
That's
have
true.
Serendipity. Right? It's a discernment and quick judgment of, is this a turkey trot that makes sense or not? Right?
That's awesome. Those are great pieces of advice and make sense why you're successful. Any last words of wisdom before my favorite part of the show, which is the quick hit?
I think those are good words of wisdom so far. So, yeah, hit me with your lightning round. Okay.
All right. This is my favorite part of the show. It helps me to learn new things. I've learned so many great places to go and great new food to try. So what's your favorite food?
Favorite food, it depends on the season, but probably sushi, Italian, or down-home comfort food back here is chili and cinnamon rolls.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, how the heck did you consider, Lincoln, Nebraska is not exactly a tech hotspot.
We are continuing to grow. We are continuing to grow. Partially, I went to school here and then decided to stay here because I wanted to do international consulting. And my wife, at that time, fiance, was still finishing school. And the company that I went to work for said, we really need you in Barcelona the day after you graduate. Can you go do that for 2 weeks?
Oh,
and So I was able to stay here in Lincoln and travel the Middle East, Asia, Europe, South America, et cetera, from here. So that's why here, and in terms of tech growth, we're actually, we call it the Silicon Prairie. A quick shout out to a top 10 podcast on there right now, which is the Inside Out podcast. You can get a highlight on everything that's going on in the Midwest, but it is quickly growing here in the Midwest.
Awesome. Your favorite book? So this could be an all-time book. It could be a business book. Your favorite book?
Ooh, favorite books, The Pumpkin Plan. If you haven't read that, check out The Pumpkin Plan.
I am unfamiliar, no.
The Pumpkin Plan is an amazing, especially if you are an independent consultant or service provider and find yourself continually spinning, it's an amazing approach to basically figuring out how do you build the biggest pumpkin. I'll just leave it at that, but it's a great read.
Oh, that's great. It sounds
and,
a lot
the
like
second one would probably be
strategy, right?
Yeah, kind of like that. But this is where do you find where you have a unique advantage where you can build something scalable, which is one of the biggest issues. And it was probably one of the first things that challenged me to say, are you constantly in this race of trading your time for dollars? And are you okay with that? It's a good question. It doesn't say that that's bad, but it's at least understand that you're being intentional about that. There is nothing wrong with that
aware.
At all, but understand that you're being intentional about trading your time for dollars.
That's right. So you international travel. So my next question is your favorite place. This could be a destination. It could be a park by your home. It could be a room in your house. What's your favorite place?
I get two. One is wherever my wife, Tricia, is. And number two, in terms of an interesting spot that maybe some people have never visited, there's an island called Corn Island off the east coast of Nicaragua that is, and they speak English Creole there. It's called Corn Island. And it
is a very
unique place off of the East Coast. There's, in fact, a little corn island, and it's one of those places that only has generators on it. But fruit trees all over and hammocks on the beaches, and it's one of the most beautiful, the surreal places.
That is awesome. I learn something new every time. And last but not least, your favorite thing to do.
Oh boy! Right now, it's continuing to learn and just challenge startup ideas and to apply that even personally, it's helping my kids see what they're amazing at right now and continuing to challenge them to solve problems and be entrepreneurial and kind of continue to maximize their potential. So, I guess if I can say learning and being a dad,
right? You're bringing up the next gen workforce. That's good stuff.
Josh, check out my Twitter feed, and you can see there's an entrepreneur, 10-year-old kid from up in Omaha that I was plugging on my Twitter feed because he's got an idea that he's working on. So you can go support him.
Oh, that's great. To get back out there and retweet that. You can follow Josh at Josh_Berry. Josh, thanks so much for joining me today and telling us about Venture Tech and all the and HR technology in the startup space and what the things that we should know if we are going to venture into this. It's not easy, but it is necessary. And I want to thank you for kicking off my new series.
Yep, Rayanne, it was a pleasure. Good luck with the rest of the series. Congrats on
the new job
and welcome to Married Life.
Yeah, thank you very much. Josh Berry, Venture Tech, has been my guest today. Please join me on Thursday. That is the 4th of June, where Greg Rokas, who launched Green Job Interview not too long ago, a couple years ago, will be joining me. I'll also be speaking with Janet Dwyer of Talent Browser, Phil Hendrickson of Qualify. Let's see who else. Perry, that we mentioned today, of Archively, Kelly Robinson at Podbean, Matt Tant at Reload, at Greenland at Tweet My Jobs. Gosh, such a great lineup. Dwayne Lay at Tail. Join us again this Thursday as we continue our series on Recruiters Go Tech. Joining us on Start Different.